So I ask myself, what can I add to the volumes of theological writing on the influence, power, history, and, well, I guess general theology of the Lord's Prayer? I can't really. I'm not a theologian. But here's an honest opinion. The Lord's Prayer has been many things to many people since Jesus taught his disciples to pray. But it has always been a foundation, of faith to those who follow Christ. It is at once, in my mind, a promise that we will do God's will to the best of our abilities, a plea that God will not abandon us, and a proclamation of God's greatness. So then I ask myself, how has this prayer stayed so uniform across Christianity, which is full of differences? Now, for one, the Lord's Prayer was delivered directly from Jesus. It's a tangible reminder to me of what Jesus was to his followers in life and in death. He wasn't just a holy, perfect, atoning sacrifice, as if that weren't enough. He was also the teacher. He led God's followers through turmoil and uncertainty. And when he instructed his disciples on how to pray, he was passing on information that he felt would be necessary for the continuation of his church. Fitting then that most of Christianity continues with the words that Jesus gave, words that seem, more often than not, to address our needs and doubts. And yes, the history behind the prayer is fascinating, and I'd love to go on at length about it, but that's not why I love it. I love the Lord's Prayer because it perfectly embodies everything that I seek to do as a follower of God. When I pray the Lord's Prayer, whether alone or as part of a group, the opening line of the prayer humbles me and reminds me to remember that God is greater than all of us. Outwardly, this line seems only a check for the ego then, but saying the words, "Hallowed be thy name," they serve to continually teach us that intrinsic to our faith is an adoration for the power of God's name and his self. We come to a God whose name is so powerful that we pray it may be revered. I love the second part, the second line, if you will, of the prayer most of all. The request that God's will be done on earth is about as powerful a statement of faith as I can recall. It's an act of giving up control, something that humanity really struggles to do on a consistent basis, and of asking for perfection to be visited on an imperfect world. To those who do not know the power of God, maybe an impossible dream. But our God does not know impossible. We ask that the kingdom of God may come near, and that means far more to God than the passing significance that we place on the word dream. Every time I ask for God's will to be done here, I am both comforted and terrified just a little, because I know God's will is good, and I trust it. But I know that when he does great things, he asks a lot of his followers. Will I be ready, I ask myself. Our prayer for daily bread and deliverance from evil move me in their honesty. Why else would we pray for sustenance and redemption than if we knew we had well and truly messed up? And Jesus knew that we'd need that line. Every time I pray these words, I hope that they will not be just words. My wish is that God's power will move through the words and make them a reality. And then we come to the end. It's simple, but like the rest of the prayer, it's powerful. It's pure adoration for the Lord of all creation. And I love the way it ends. Forever and ever. Amen to that. Now, I skipped the part in order about being forgiven and forgiving others, because though the request for God's will to be done here is my favorite part of the prayer, it is not the most difficult thing for me to accept. Forgiving others the way Jesus forgave is the most difficult thing for me to accept. And it's the most difficult thing to pray for. It's the hardest part for me to do because I have direct control over it. And as I said, sometimes we struggle when we're given control. This part of the prayer is my plea to God that he will give me the strength to forgive others as he's forgiven me and as Jesus forgave. And just like the man who taught us to pray, forgiveness is divine. Amen.
Good morning. So I was so excited when I heard that Elaine was going to do a service or a series on the Lord's Prayer. because I really have always loved it. I am one of the generation that grew up saying it each day in school, and I sang it every Sunday right here in this church. For me, it's many things. It has been inspiring, it has been convicting, it's comforting, and it's been strengthening. It has served me well on many occasions, and never once for me, I know this is a concern for a lot of people, but it's never once grown stale or old or meaningless for me. Because how could it? It's right out of Jesus' own mouth. If it came from Jesus, it's got to be good, right? This is what I figure. I believe there is great power in prayer. I know that prayer chains work because I've experienced it firsthand. I believe Naomi is here today because of the power of prayer. I believe I stand here in front of you alive and strong and a better person because of it. I believe in the power of prayer created by many voices raised together at the same time. When we said the Lord's Prayer in school, I always felt that I was a part of something bigger than myself. When I sang it with the choir here in church, it took on even more meaning for me. I can still hear Marion Fleming's voice standing beside me as she sang. And I can hear Jack's voice, and I can hear John Wallace's voice singing behind me with his nice bass. And I can see Carol Hoover, and I can see Shirley, and I can see Barb Krebs. I can see Ruth Windus across from me in my mind and my ears memory. You guys might not have realized it, but at 16 and 17 years old, you were all having a big effect on me. And I've drawn strength over the years by having your faces and your voices stuck there in my mind's eye, in my mind's ear. Those of you who know me know that I worry a lot. One of the things I worry most about is doing everything right. I worry all the time about doing everything just right. It has to be just right. And when I mess up, my confidence plunges. And I mess up a lot. And I say or do the wrong thing. I make mistakes with my kids. And I hurt people's feelings. And I forget deadlines. And I forget the proper procedures for office stuff at work. And I forget people's names. And I forget dates. And I forget birthdays. And the interesting thing is, I can always remember the Lord's Prayer. And I think that came from all those years of repeating it. I'm ever so grateful for all those years of repeating it, because when the troubled times have come, and of course they have come, it's always right there safely etched in my memory. So just like me, the disciples, when you read that passage in the Bible, were worried about doing things right. They're worried about praying the right way. And they said to Jesus, "Well, teach us how to pray." So he gave him the Lord's Prayer. So I figure if that was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. If that's what Jesus wanted the disciples to do, then what more direction could I possibly need for my prayer life? I can pray the prayer that Jesus taught them to pray. And I take such comfort in that. So not only is it right there etched in my memory, it's available to me all the time because it's stuck there. I know that when I pray it with an open and surrendering heart, then I'm also praying the right way. Thank goodness. Because here's one thing that I can't mess up. I'm so glad that I have the Lord's Prayer. It has always been there for me. Through all the things that happened with my parents and all the things that happened to Naomi, and especially during this last year of the cancer treatment, it has been the lifeline that I've held on to. When I was so scared, I couldn't even think straight. There were times I was so scared I couldn't form a complete sentence in my mind on my own. I recall that during my biopsy, I tried to distract myself from the awfulness of the procedure by saying the 23rd Psalm. Because I know Jack read that to his mom when she was laying in the hospital in a coma. And I know that she drew strength from that, even unconscious. I believe she could hear it. So I tried to say that, but I couldn't remember it right. I kept messing it up. And that was getting me really upset, so I'll forget it. And I just went to the Lord's Prayer, and I got through that biopsy. The other nice thing about the Lord's Prayer is I believe you can fake it till you make it. It's been a constant struggle for me to surrender to God's will through my life. Thy will be done has always been the hardest part of the prayer for me, especially where my kids are concerned. I'm so afraid to lose my kids. I always have been, that to place them fully in God's hands has always been a struggle. Unfortunately for Naomi, in particular, he keeps reminding me over and over again that that she belongs to him, not me. So after the dog attack and the ruptured appendix and the rabies thing, okay, I think I got it. She's yours. Thy will be done. But they're both yours, but can I just want to keep them, okay, God? I just want to keep them a bit for a while. Give them to me for a while. Don't take them. And the thing is, with this cancer diagnosis, I never, so worried about losing my kids that I never once thought, I got this diagnosis and not only could I lose them, I could lose my husband, I could lose my family, I could lose my whole life, all in one shot, with one stupid, ridiculous cancer diagnosis. So that was the hardest thing I've ever had to accept. And so I struggled with thy will be done. And I kept, I remember praying one day when I was driving through Simcoe. It was between my surgery and before starting treatment. And I was sitting at the corner, the intersection of Highway 3 and 24. And, once again, I couldn't really think straight. So I'm saying the Lord's Prayer. And I had a breakthrough. And for whatever reason, I could say, thy will be done. And I really, really meant it. And since then, since that time, I've been able to find my peace. I've been able to give my life up to God and to say, thy will be done, and really mean it. So thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That gives me peace. It takes everything out of my hands, and it reminds me not to worry, and it reminds me, I can't really stop worrying all that easily, but it does remind me to give it up to God. Not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine. I often think about Jesus in the garden and, that's way worse than what I'm going through. But, it's a hard thing to say, not thy will, but thine, or my will, but thine. Let go and let God, thy will be done. And I have discovered through this that when he is in control, I see blessings in my life on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. When God's in control, I see blessings all around me.